Tonight's shiur, Parshas Bamidbar. Once Rav Galinsky was invited to speak before the Yamim Noraim, before Roshana Yom Kippur. So when he got there, he saw the people were sitting and talking and laughing, and it wasn't the aura of, you know, the days just before the day of judgment. So he figured, why weren't these people, you know, where was the fear of Yom Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur? He said, because lamaisa, these people, they're religious Jews. They put on tefillin, daven three times a day, Shabbos, Kashrus. So what did they have to be scared about in their eyes, you know, for the Yom HaDin? They're fine, doing everything supposed to do. So he's debating, you know, what to tell these people. On the one hand, he could get into the details and show that it's very nice that they're generally good Jews, but there's a lot more to Yiddishkeit than just being generally good. There are all the very, very small and fine details of all the halachas and all the dinim. For example, the Yaris Vash, he says that somebody who's not a baki, not an expert in Hilcha Shabbos, he will undoubtedly be Mechala Shabbos. And how are these people's tefillah, that they have proper kavana, or tefillin, they put on tefillin, yeah, but there's halacha that the person's not allowed to take his mind off his tefillin as long as he's wearing them. He reminds him of a maisa with Rav Isaac Sher, that's all. And once he was at a chasana of one of his talmidim, and he saw there was like a badchan or a clown or whatever that he was putting on, like doing some shtick at the chasana, and he watched as this person put a bottle of beer on his head, and on the bottle was a tray, and on the tray were cups filled with beer, and he was dancing with the tray and the cups of beer on his head, and dancing around, bouncing act. So finally, when the was over, this was over, he took the tray off his head, and Rav Isaac said, you can hear in the audience, you know, the people there, a sigh of relief, like, oh, you know, they're watching these bottles, and it's like a sigh of relief. So Rav Isaac said, you know, this is exactly how I feel every day when I take off my tefillin off my head. One has to concentrate, make sure that he doesn't take his mind off his tefillin. He says, I'm so tense, you know, constantly having mind. So when I take out my tefillin, it's like a sigh of relief. I can relax a little bit. So again, he could bring this idea up with these people, but he figured they're not going to appreciate it. So instead, Galinsky told his audience the following. He says that he was me'ir that Parshas Bamidbar, which we're reading this week, Yetz Hashem, always comes out before Chag HaShavuot. Usually it's the Shabbos just prior to Shabbos. This year it happens to be a couple of Shabbos, but it's always before Chag HaShavuot. Why is that the case? In fact, it's not just dumb. It has to come out that way. There's obviously a reason behind it. What is it? He says that What does Parshas Bamidbar talk about? Parshas Bamidbar discusses the formation of the Jewish people as they encamped. Right? They encamped around the Mishkan. The Mishkan was in the center, around the Moshevet Levi, in the inner circle, and with their families, and around the outside was all the tribes of Israel in the outer formation around the outside. So he says, you know, the Torah doesn't mince words. The Torah is very careful that it doesn't say any extra words that it doesn't have to. We find that by Shabbos, there's so many halachas, Hilchos Shabbos, as we mentioned before, yet in the Torah itself is hardly any words. The Chazal and Chagiga call it Harim Tluim Basara, the mountains hanging on a thread. There's hardly, very little written in the Torah about it. And similarly, when it comes to Shechita, there's only one word in the Torah, and everything else is Baal Peh. And all of a sudden here, when it comes to the encampment of The Jewish people is a whole parsha full with it. This one tribe was here, and this tribe was here, on this side and that side, and surrounding here, and Levim in the middle, and going to so much detail. Why? So it must be teaching us something. He says that the hashkafa amongst many Yidden, unfortunately, is that, you know, we're alive in this world, and we're here to enjoy ourselves. You know, we want to be happy, health, happiness, parnasa, have a nice, status, etc., have a nice family, whatever. But lemaisa, we're Jews, and Kosh Baruch Hu, wants his part. So he said, okay, fine, okay, well, I'll give a little bit to Hashem, I'll daven 3 times a day, brachos, Shabbos, chagim, and I'll even go to a Shir Torah here and there, and, that's plenty, look how much I'm giving Hashem, He says, but that's a false hashkafa. That's not what it's all about. And that is why we read Bamidbar before Shavuos, which is Matan Torah, in order that we should have the proper outlook and what the Torah is all about before we receive the Torah in Shachag HaShavuos. And that is that the Mishkan, as Parshas Bamidbar teaches us, the Mishkan is in the center. That has to be the center of our lives. Avodas Hashem, coming, which reflects through the Korbanos and the Limud Torah, which is represented by the Luchos in the Mishkan, and that's the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and that's in the middle, that's the center. And that has to be, therefore, the center of our lives. And around that is where we dwell. And around the Mishkan, in the first circle, we have what? Shevet Levi, Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron and his sons, and they are the teachers of the Torah in Israel, and the Shvatim are on the outside to teach us that has to be the world of a Yid. Around, again, we have to surround the Mishkan. The Mishkan has to be the center of our lives, and that's the Ruchnius. First of all, first and foremost, the Mishkan in the middle, surrounded by Shevet Levi, which is right next to it, and that represents Limud Torah, Ruchnius, and only on the outside, that's the rest of Klal Yisrael, that's the life of Chulin, our daily lives. That's the proper setup which we were taught in the Midbar, this week's Sedra, that the Iker is the Ruchnius, the Mishkan, which has to be the center of our lives. And therefore, this is what we read prior to Chag HaShavuos, when we celebrate the giving of the Torah. Tosfos, in Maseches Megillah, Daf Lamed Aleph, Amud Beis, also deals with this issue of reading Parshas Bamidbar, as we said before, Chag HaShavuos. And he says the following: Shemitam ze anu korin b'midbar Sinai kodem atzeres kedei shelo lahasmich haklalos shebe bechukosai latzeres. This is an order that we shouldn't have Shavuos if we didn't have it b'midbar in between. If we had Chag HaShavuos right after Parshas Bechukosai, that wouldn't be good, because in Parshas Bechukosai we have, of course, the tochacha, we have the klalos, and we don't want to have the giving of the Torah next to the klalos. In fact, as we said, it's a halacha, Shulchan Aruch, or Chaim Simen Taf Kaf Ches, Sif Dalet, that's the case. And the Levush writes something interesting. He says that what's the main problem here? That if we would read the klalos and just before Shavuos, we'd have the problem with the Satan. So the Satan would then find a reason to be able to mekatre Chalila. And therefore, we don't celebrate Shavuos right after Bechukosai, so as not to give a chance for the Satan to be mekatre. The question is quite obvious. What? The Satan only, he's limited to 7 days? You know, if you have Parshas Bemidbar, and then Shavuot's only after that, so you got more days there. So now, you know what, he's going to forget if you have Parshas Bemidbar in between. So, what's going on over here? So he likes to suggest the following. We find this concept, a very important concept of Achdus, in and amongst Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter used to say that all the kitrugim can only happen to a person, to people, when they take themselves out of the klal, and they are judged by themselves. As long as a yid is together with all the other yid, and we're a group, a united group, so then the satan has no power to mekatre. Only if a person goes out and separates himself from the klal, and then he's judged as an individual, oy vavoy. Rabbi Eliel Yapian Zatzal, he was once traveling on a train to Haifa on his way to Yeshiva Kfar Hasidim, and the train passes the ocean, and he looked through the window and he saw the sea, right? And thought, made the following he'ara. He says, you know, it's such a powerful vision. You look at the sea, the huge expanse of water. It's breathtaking. In fact, there's even a bracha that we make on it. However, if you just take a bucket from that sea and separate, in other words, a little bit of water from that sea, a bucket, and it says, here's a bucket of water from the sea. You look at it, it's dirty, it's salty, it's ugh. Right? The same water came from the sea. But as all the waters together, it's a beautiful thing. You separate it, it's already something that's disgusting. So Mela, so too. As long as every yid is together, it's a beautiful thing. You separate yourself from the klal, it's not. The Briskerov explained that that's what Balak said to Bilam. When he asked Bilam to curse Klal Yisrael, he said, Lech na'iti el makom asher, come to with me to another place, that you will see Klal Yisrael from there, asher tirani misham. And then he says, Efes katseyu tireh, v'chulo lo sireh. You'll see a little bit of Klal Yisrael, you're not going to see all of them together. V'kavnu li misham, and I want you there to curse them. Meaning that Balak understood this yesod. He understood that as long as Klal Yisrael are all together as one, he won't be able to curse them. Therefore, he made sure just to see a portion of the people. Because once you zero in on a portion, not the whole group, then and only then there's a chance to have a negative effect on them. That's the inyan, he says, you find by Matan Torah, V'yichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar, famous Rashi, Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad. That we're all one, pure as like one man, like one heart. In order to receive the Torah, again, we need this strong unity. And that's why everybody said at the time of Matan Torah, Kol Asher Diber Hashem, it says, Na'ase V'Nishma. They said, everything Hashem says, Na'ase, we will do and we will listen. So why, the question is asked, is it in the plural? We will do, we will listen. Everybody was saying this, so each one should have said, I will do and I will listen. But once again, the answer is that they were, as we said before, ki ish echad b'lev echad. They were all one strong, tight unit. And they understood that person is not allowed to and should not separate from the klal. And therefore, they all pronounced, na'aseh v'nishma, we will do and we will listen. We're all like one. Says a cute but sad story, says that when he was in America, Glinsky was in America once, he heard the following true story that happened amongst the reform movement over there. Said that for Yom Kippur, the people would have their Sudasa Mafsekas, you know, before the fast, It says whoever eats on the 9th is like you fasted on the 10th. So they ate on the 9th, they ate on Erev Yom Kippur. Then they would go to their Reform temple, and they would hear the song of Kol Nidre. And then, get this, they would pay the rabbi that he should fast for them. Right? He was their Tarnagol Kaparis. Yeah, he would do the fasting, they would pay money, and then go home, and the rabbi would fast for them. So once, one of the congregants drove home, you know, after Kol Nidre, after paying the rabbi, and he told his wife. So she said, well, you paid him for yourself, what about for me? That's not fair. You know, why... I also wanted the rabbi to fast for me, the wife said. So the husband said, you know, you're 100% right. Let me go to the rabbi's house and, you know, give him money for you as well. Okay, so sure enough, he went to the rabbi's house. And when he got there, he was shocked. He saw the rabbi was sitting there eating. So he says, what's going on? Rabbi, we paid you to fast for us. So what does the rabbi answer? He says, yeah, don't worry. For you, I'm fasting. He says, I'm eating for myself. So, of course, that's not the right approach when it comes to mitzvahs. Somebody who's mekayim a mitzvah, he has to realize that he's not just doing it for himself. Rather, b'shem kol Yisrael, we're all one unit. And therefore, when we do a mitzvah, it affects everybody. It tilts the scales, not only his own scales, but the scales of the entire world, because we're all like one. And someone who does an avera, as the Midrash in Vayikra says, it's likened to a person who drills a hole underneath himself in the boat. And the person next to him says, what are you doing? He says, don't worry, the hole's under me. And a person as an avera affects every yid, and after that the entire world. So with this we can also understand what Rashi says in Parshas Nitzavim, beginning of Parshas Nitzavim, says Atem Nitzavim, and Rashi says Lama Nismecho, why is the Parshas Nitzavim next to the Parsha of the Klalos Kisavo? Says it's once Klal Yisrael heard the 98 klalos, besides the 49 klalos in Parshas Bechukosai, so their literally faces became green. They were like shocked. Well, what's going to be? They said, "Who can withstand all these klalos?" So Moshe tried to calm them down. He says, "Look, atem nitzavim ayom." Look, you angered Hashem quite a bit, but you're still around. You're standing here today. You're still around. Question is, how could that be? How could that be? How could they be standing around Lamaisa after doing what they did, and they angered Hashem, and there are these klalos? How is it, in fact, that they're standing there? So the answer is, as the pasuk says, "Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem," because you're one unit, kulchem, and once you're like one, you can be safe. Chaim kulchem hayom, and as we know, also the famous mashal that if you have a bundle of straw tied together, you can't break it. You take one straw out and another straw out, each one you can break very easily. A child could break it. But once it's in a bundle, it's all tied together, it's very strong. So now we can understand and answer the question which we started with, that we said, well, Satan, you know, he can't remember, you know, a week later already, that we can't have Shavuos next to Parshas Bechukosai because the Klalos, and the Satan's going to Mekatre. So what? So it's a little bit later, a week later, he's going to forget? Teretz says, no. It's not the time. It's the Parshas Bemidbar that's in between. That's what's doing it. The Parshas Bemidbar represents, as we mentioned before, the Achdus of Klal Yisrael, all encamping around the Mishkan, etc. And we're one tight unit. That's what Parshas Bemidbar talks about. And if we are united through Parshas Bemidbar, then we can hope to withstand all the Kitrugim that may come from the Satan. And he ends, in fact, that that's what was the problem with the 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva as an approach, as a preparation to Matan Torah, that we mourn their deaths. And that's because, as Chazal tells Nivama, Shalom Nagu Kavod Zebezeh, that they didn't give kavod to each other. There was this Perud Levavos. They were separate. They weren't one. They weren't Ishecha Kelevechad. And this is, as we said, a very important condition and preparation, in fact, to Matan Torah. Once an Avreich came to Rav Galinsky with a Shaila. He says he's very active in a organization, a Kiruv organization, and he was asked to bring some Balei Tshuva to his home for Shabbos. So his question was that he has, you know, little children at home, and he's not sure whether that's the right thing to do. He's a little bit uncomfortable. You know, these are people that just became religious, so they still, their talk and the way they look and the way they act is still not refined, you know, the way that we like, would like our kids to be and see, for that matter. So he was questioning whether it's okay, proper, or should he not bring these people home to for Shabbos or not. So Galinsky said, "Look, I'm not a posek. You should ask a shaila, but I tell stories. So let me tell you the following story. It says in the city of Slonim, there was something called they used to call the Hekdesh." Hekdesh was a Beis Hachnasas Orachim, a home where people would come to, like a soup kitchen, right? And at the time, the Maskilim, they wanted to close down the doors of this soup kitchen. And their taina was that the guests that are in town, that are refined, nice people, well, they go to when they come to town, they go to people's houses for meals. And then, so who goes to the Hekdesh? All these people, people that are, you know, they call them archi-parchi, you know, the homeless and poor people, and they're chashud don gneva, and therefore, why should the kahila, you know, put their money in having a place like this where all these types of perhaps thieves are going to come and make their way to the town? Let them just continue and go to some other place. So that's what the Maskilim said. So they want to close down the house. Rav Shabtai Yagel, who was the Rosh Hashiva of Slonim, said he disagreed, based on a diuk in the Mishnah in Perkei Avos. Famous Mishnah, but he makes a diuk. Mishnah says, right at the beginning, the first perek, second Mishnah, says that the world stands on three things. Al shlosha dvarim olam umed. Al ha-Torah, ve'al ha-Avodah, ve'al gemilus chasadim. Right? The world stands on the Torah, and Avodah, and gemilus chasadim. But he makes the following deep. Notice that the word Torah has a hay in front of it. That the world stands on ha-Torah, also the Avodah, ve'ha-hay, ha-Avodah, but it doesn't say ve'al ha-gemilus chasadim. There it just says gemilus chasadim. Why is that the case? Why is the Torah say Ha Torah and Avodah Ha Avodah and Gemilus Chasadim? It doesn't have a hay in front of it. So he answered the following. He says, and Chazal saw with their Ruach HaKodesh that there'll come times when people will have their own versions of the Torah that they want to make up, and that this is how we should do the Torah. And this is, they make up their own Torahs. So then, therefore, the Chazal was telling us, no. The world stands on Ha Torah, the real, authentic Torah that we were given at Har Sinai from Shammai. Similarly, when it comes to Avodah, people have their own Avodah, Avodah Zarahs, of whether it's work or money or whatever it might be, all different types of Avodah. And therefore, says the Tana, no. The world stands on Ha Avodah, the Avodah. The Avodah Sabore, and nothing else. However, when it comes to Gemilus Chasadim, it doesn't say Ha Gemilus Chasadim, because you don't have to say that. Because Gemilus Chasadim is for everybody. anim that are proper, those that are not proper, whoever wants can come and eat. It's across the board. It's not any specific gemilas chasadim. Gemilas chasadim has to be and is for everybody. And therefore, he said, you have to keep the house open because that's what gemilas chasadim is all about. It's for everybody. And in fact, where do we find this? Who's the amud of gemilas chasadim? Avraham Avinu. And what happened? He didn't check his orchim. He went, there were Arabs in his eyes, right? Didn't care, Arabs, not Arabs, whatever. Here, and he brought him to his house. Okay, so with that story, the Avreich said, oh, I guess so, the Rav's telling me that I can bring these Bali Tshuva to my house. Said Rav Galinsky, no, I didn't say that. It's not exactly the same. Why? Because in Slonim, this hekdesh, this bayit of Achnasas Orchim, that was not in anybody's personal house. The people that came there, whoever they might be, but they weren't in anybody's private home. And even by Avram, when he brought the men, it says over there, Tachas Ha'etz. He hosted them, but they were under the tree. Mashmah, he didn't actually bring them into his home. So, it's not so simple to bring people into your home that are not holding there. Where do we see also an example? Shlomo HaMelech. He was a Chacham, he was a Navi, he was sat on the throne of the kingship, and he wanted to spread the moon of Hashem in the world. So how did he do so? He married the daughters of kings, Goyim, right? First, of course, he converted them. And then he married them. And then he taught the Das Emes, the true religion of Yiddishkeit. And after that, his idea was that then these daughters of these Goyish kings will all go back to their, you know, homes, visiting their families, their parents, and teach what the Torah preaches, and slowly but surely the whole world will be filled with Das Hashem. Wonderful, right? Tremendous kavanas Shlomo Melech had. But what happened in the end? Says the pasuk, "Vayhi leit ziknas Shlomo nashav hitu es levavo v'lo haya levavo shalem im Hashem alokav kilavav David aviv." He went off. Shlomo Melech went off. Why? So writes the Chida, because he shouldn't have, he had a good idea, but his mistake was, he shouldn't have brought them to his castle. He should have gone to their castles and he wants to teach the daughters of the kings or whatever, fine. But he should go out, bringing them into his own home, that was his downfall. So we see, it's not so simple to, have to be careful of who one brings into his home. Now, to bring it to our Sedra, find by Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was commanded to count the Levim from 1 month and on, Moshe said to Hashem, what, I'm going to go into the, after schlep into the tents to count the babies? You know, they can't come out to me, they're little babies, I have to go in and count them. So Hashem says, no, don't worry about it. Asei ata shelcha v'ani asei shali. You just do what you can do, I'll take over from there. So Moshe said, fine. He went only to the opening of the tent. And then the Shechina came and announced how many people are in the tent. How many children or babies are in the tent. And therefore, that's why the Pasuk says in the Sedra, Vayifkod otam Moshe al pi Hashem. That it was really al pi Hashem, because the Baskol announced how many babies were in the tent. So the Maral asks, he says, "V'kasha v'chi b'shvil haTorah shalor atzal ikanes lo'el shalahem nimnu al pi Hashem." What? Just because Moshe was, didn't want to matriach bother himself to go inside the ohel, so because of that, it had to be al pi Hashem. So, you see from here, no, that chas v'shalom Moshe wasn't lazy. He would have gone in, but like we said before, you go into somebody's house, you can get affected. You can get affected by the surroundings. Moshe was Moshe Rabbeinu, a terrorist. The crown of the Levim and their leaders, and their leader, etc. He understood that still he doesn't have to go and be with them in their tents. And the Shechina agreed with him. Hashem said, fine, don't go in. I agree with you. You don't have to be there with them. You can stand on the outside and I'll announce it. So Rav Galinsky concluded and told this this person involved with Kiruv, he says, listen, again, I'm not a posek, and it could be that it's very necessary in this case, even so, to bring these people into your house, and Shomer Mitzvah Lo Yedei Davara could be, so you have to ask a Shaila and to a Rav. And if you listen to what a posek tells you, then you have nothing to worry about. We shall be Zoiche to, in fact, be united, be Ishachad, Belevechad, and therefore be safe and clean from any kitrug or any of the kalas. And instead we should only see tremendous bracha and atzlacha, and the ikar bracha of the Bias Gold Tzedek, b'mhira b'yameinu.